Okay. Good morning. It's a pleasure to address them, address at Yom Rishon once again. This week I was a little sick. I don't know if you could hear. My kids were sick, and I think, I don't know if this happens to you, but I find when I get a little cold, suddenly you start pondering all the things in the universe that seem unfair. So this morning we're going to be talking about a little bit of a weighty topic, the topic of galus, the topic of suffering, specifically the galus Mitzrayim and also galus in general. So bear with me. Chazak, chazak, v'nisfazek, we finished Sefer Bereishis, and this week we're going to begin Sefer Shemos. Sefer Bereishis, of course, is the story of the Avos, and the promises that were made to them, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sefer Shemos is the story of their children, and the story of those promises being fulfilled. And not long into the Sefer, the honeymoon ends, only 11 psukim in, and the children of Yaakov begin to be enslaved in Mitzrayim, and they go through tremendous persecution. 210 years of very difficult times, of torture, of slavery, humiliation. We're told that times were so bad that Moshe Rabbeinu's parents, before he was born, separated with the idea that, you know, why should we bring any more children into such a difficult world? That's how bad things were. And so Chazal asked why. Why did our nation have to grow under such circumstances? After all, this is where we grew up as a nation. We came down to Mitzrayim as 70 people, and we grew to 600,000, but we grew under duress. We grew in a situation of suffering, a situation of slavery. Why did it have to be this way? Why couldn't we have grown comfortably in our own lands? Why did we have to be in exile? Why do we have to be oppressed? Chazal asked why. And that's the question we're going to begin with this morning. What was the reason? What was the purpose for the Galus Mitzrayim? Why did our nation have to grow up in this way? And of course, as with everything, there are a number of views. So we are going to look at a few of them. The first approach is that Galus Mitzrayim must have been a punishment. Right? How can you stomach it otherwise? Why should we have to go through such difficult times? If we didn't do anything wrong, we must have done something wrong. We must have done something to deserve this. What did we do? So the first approach looks first at the sons of Yaakov, which we've been reading about for the past few weeks. As we saw in the Parshios, the sons of Yaakov were not entirely united. There was difficulty with Yosef and his brothers. As the first source tells us, Liolam al yishana adam, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yoram Abiz tells us, Liolam al yishana adam b'no bein habanim. A person should never favor one child over another. Shebishvil mishkal shnei sla'im melas, because of the weight of two sla'im of wool, shenasan Yaakov liyosef yoter mishar banav, which Yaakov gave Yosef more than he gave his other sons. Niskanu bo achav, his brothers were jealous of him. V'niskagel hadavar v'yardu avosinu l'mitzrayim. His brothers were jealous of him, and all the events unfolded, as we've read these past few weeks, that led to the Jewish people ending up in Mitzrayim. So first, the brothers are blamed. They were not unified. Such a terrible thing. Brothers could gang up and sell their brother into slavery. How do we make that right? The way that Hashem makes that right is the whole nation goes into slavery in order to right this wrong. Or another source tells us, "Bitchila kozem sheyardu l'Mitzrayim." Before we went down to Mitzrayim, "Hayu b'nei ha'imahos mevazin hashvachos." The sons of Rachel and Leah, or in this case, really, we assume just Leah, the sons of Leah, made fun, they humiliated the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. They called them slaves. Perhaps this is one of the views of the bad report that Yosef brought to his father. What is it that the brothers were saying about the other brothers? Yosef came to Yaakov and said, the sons of Leah are calling the Bnei HaShvachos, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, they're calling them slaves. You're not on our level. You're only the children of maidservants. And so, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Eicha Esel Lahem Shikablu Bnei HaShvachos. What can I do so that my nation, so that these brothers will accept one another? Orizam LeMitzrayim, I will bring them down to Egypt, V'yu Kulam Avadim. If they call some of their brothers slaves, then they'll all have to go down to Mitzrayim and they will all have to be slaves. So again, the first approach is that the sons of Yaakov sinned, they were not unified, and Hashem said, I can't build a nation with this disunity. This is not a foundation for a people. How is it that they're all going to be united? Egypt was the great equalizer. Everyone was brought down, everyone was a slave, and in this way, through the subjugation, everyone became united, and in this way, the nation can be built. So yes, Mitzrayim was a punishment, but it was meant to be rehabilitative. It was meant to bring us together and enable us to become the nation we were meant to be. But of course, you're all asking, it can't really be entirely blamed on the Shvatim, because the notion that the Jewish people, that the descendants of Avraham Avinu would be subjugated, would be tortured in a foreign land, is already destined much earlier, before the Shvatim are born, before Yaakov is born, before Yitzchak is born. Avraham Avinu at the Bris Bein Abisarim is told that his children will go into exile. So let's take a look at that source. The Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu was getting on in years, and he was concerned he didn't have children. And Hashem tells him in Pasuk Hey, Ve'otzeo so achutza, Hashem takes Avraham Avinu outside, Vayomer, and he says to him, Habetin ha-shamayim, uspor ha-kochavim, imtucha l'spor osam. Come, count the stars if you are able. Right, there are so many. Vayomer lo, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, koyia zaracha. This is how many your children will be. Right, Vehemin Vashem, Avraham Avinu had faith in Hashem, and he considered this a tremendous act of righteousness on Hashem's part to grant him such a future. And then in Pasuk Zion, Hashem says, Vayom Re'ilav, Ani Hashem, Asher Hotzisicha, Me'ur Kazdim, Lases Lecha, Es Ha'art Hazos Rishta. It gets better, right? It's like an infomercial. Not only will you have a lot of children, but wait, there's more. They will also inherit the land that you are living in right now, right? That's tremendous. But now in Pasuk Ches, Avraham Avinu questions Hashem, and he says, Vayomar Hashem Elokim, Bamayida ki irashana. How do I know that I will inherit it? And Hashem tells him, take three heifers, right, and three goats, and three rams, and a turtle dove, and he divides them in half, and a little bird remains whole. And Hashem tells him this whole procedure of the Bris Bein Abisarim to do. And then a great sleep comes over Avraham Avinu. He falls asleep, and there's a terrible fright and a darkness, and he hears the bad news. And the bad news comes in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer la'Avram, Hashem says to Avram, Yadoi teida, no, ki ger yiyah zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. The nation that you just found out a few minutes ago is going to exist, unfortunately, is going to go into slavery. They're going to go into exile. They're going to be strangers in a land that doesn't belong to them. They'll be subjugated, they'll be tortured for 400 years. But Hashem says, I will judge the nation that does this to them, they will come out with great wealth, and they will inherit this land. So of course this is very difficult to understand. It starts out very positive. Avraham Avinu is going to have a tremendous number of descendants. They are going to inherit the land of Israel. But before we can inherit, all of a sudden we find out that there's this very bleak aspect. We have to go through a very long and difficult period of suffering. And of course the question is why? So following the first approach that we took, that such tremendous suffering must come as a punishment, the Gemara says Avraham Avinu must have done something wrong. What did he do wrong? The Gemara gives three suggestions, and we will focus on one of them because that is the notion that's going to be picked up in the Medrash. And that is Avraham Avinu's question in Pasuk Ches, where Avraham Avinu, after being told that he will have children and that his children will inherit the land of Israel, that the land he's living in, then Canaan, Avraham Avinu asks, "Bama eda ki irashana? How do I know? How do I know that I will inherit the land?" And it seems almost as if Avraham Avinu needs some kind of confirmation. That's what the Gemara says. We sense here a tiny lack of faith. And the Gemara says, for that lack of faith, the land didn't come so easily to his children. right? He's told they're going to inherit, but now after he questions Hashem, after Avraham Avinu seemingly has this small lapse of faith, now, in order to inherit the land, his children are going to have to go through this tremendous period of difficulty. How do I know that I will inherit? Now, of course, this whole description given to Avraham Avinu is very open-ended. We're not told what country this is going to take place in. We're not. There's a period of 400 years given, which we know in the end the actual difficult subjugation was only 210 years. So we see that there was a lot of flexibility. Perhaps the harshness could have all been concentrated into 1 or 2 years. Perhaps it could have taken place somehow in Eretz Kanaan while we were not in control. So everything was really up in the air. So the way that you fuse together the different views of the Gemara is that while this galus was predestined at the time of Avraham Avinu, the details were open-ended. And the fact that the brothers were not united and were so, and in terms of what they did to one another, making fun of one another, ganging up and selling one of the brothers to Mitzrayim because of their sin, they caused the galus that was already predestined in the time of Avram to practically take place in the lands of Egypt with the terrible and difficult subjugation that took place there. So again, it's not solely because of the brothers, but because the children of Yaakov needed to be unified, because we needed to make right the wrong, that is why the galus that was already predestined then took place in the land of Egypt. But of course, this is still very, very difficult to stomach, right? Such a harsh decree over a small lapse of faith, right? The Pasuk even tells us a few Pesukim before, V'hemin b'Hashem, Avraham Avinu was a man of faith, he believes in Hashem. And so the Medrash takes a very different read of what happens. And there's another approach. The second approach is not that the Galus Mitzrayim was entirely punitive. It's not that it was a punishment for something we did wrong, but rather it was a prerequisite. It was the prerequisite for fulfilling our destiny. We are not an ordinary nation. Eretz Yisrael is not an ordinary land. Why can't we just be like everyone else? Why can't we just grow up in peace and quiet in our country, in safety? Why do we have to grow under such difficult circumstances? Why can't we be like everyone else? And Chazal answer, we are not like everyone else, and therefore our upbringing has to be different. Right? Hashem tells us in Sefer Devarim, V'ascham lakach Hashem v'yotzi eschem mekor habarzel mimitzrayim liyos lo la'am nachalak hayom hazeh. How is it that you become Hashem's nation, you've become Hashem's portion? First you have to go through what's called the kor habarzel. Mitzrayim is referred to as the iron crucible, the place where our impurities were washed away, the place where we formed into the nation in order to fulfill our destiny. And what is it that we had to learn in Mitzrayim? What was this prerequisite? Right? Prerequisites are not always pleasant, but you have to do them. My husband's the registrar here, so he could tell you. Right? If you don't do your prereqs, you can't go on to fulfill your major. Does everyone enjoy their prereqs? Not necessarily, but it's something you have to do. Right? And what was it that we had to learn? Interestingly, the Torah often mentions our experience in Mitzrayim not in connection with the fact that we need to serve Hashem, right? Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, so therefore you must keep all the mitzvos. No, the Torah mentions Mitzrayim when it's trying to teach us about sensitivities that we need to have towards other people. For example, the pasuk on the second side, V'ahavtem es ager, we're commanded to love the stranger. Why? Ki gerim yisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. We are charged with looking after those in society that can get forgotten, that can get overlooked. The orphans, the widows, those without family, gerim, people that come in and they have no support system. And how is it that we are commanded to do this? How this is expected of us? Because we were gerim. Because our formative years as a nation was under duress, was in a situation where we were subjugated. We were put down. We were the strangers. We were not treated properly. And therefore, this becomes part of our national DNA, this sensitivity to others. It's really an incredible idea to think about despite all the difficulties. Imagine so much suffering. Why? To embed in the Jewish people, in the Jewish DNA, sensitivity to other people. This is who we are. This is our upbringing. This is our childhood. And you see it today. You see it in politics, people, Jewish people, completely estranged from religion, that fight to the end for social causes and social justice. This is part of who the Jewish people are, taking care of other people. And where do we get this from, right? Was Mitzrayim a punishment? Was it ordained because we did something wrong? No, it was ordained because this was our destiny. In order to become the nation of Hashem, Hashem's representatives in this world, who is Hashem? Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have to emulate Him. Ma'hu rachum achata rachum. Hashem is merciful. You need to be merciful. How do you train someone to be merciful? Right? There's nothing like first-hand experience. And so here, not as a punishment, but as a prerequisite of who we are meant to be, of inheriting the land of Israel, of fulfilling the Torah, we need to go through this experience. It needs to be part of our most basic memories and our most basic upbringing. Right? This is something that Nietzsche faulted Judaism for worrying about, you know, the lowest level in society. But this is what we're proud of. It's not a slave morality. This is who we are. This is the destiny of the Jewish people. And in fact, when we look at the Medrash Tanchuma at the beginning of Sefer Shemos, which I did bring you. When we look at the Medrash Tanchuma at the beginning of Sefer Shemos, of course the Medrash's silent question is why, right? The Medrash has to deal with this slavery, and the Medrash has to answer why this suffering occurred. And what is it that the Medrash tells us? Shalosh matanos tovos nasana kadosh baruch hu l'Israel. Hashem gave the Jewish people three wonderful presents. But there was a caveat. Lo nasan osam ela ayedei yisurim. The only way that we were able to gain these wonderful presents was through trials and tribulations, difficulties. And what were they? The Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba. Right? In order to be the nation that can receive the Torah, that can inherit the land of Israel, and as we know in our own lives, in order to ultimately attain Olam Haba, sometimes we need to go through difficulties in order to build character, in order to build up who we are meant to be. And so, we have these two views. Is Galus Mitzrayim purely a punishment, or is it perhaps, in a positive way, a prerequisite of who we are meant to be? Now, either way, we're left with the reality of Galus. Galus has not left us. We experience Galus Mitzrayim, but as you know, throughout Jewish history, it's been our lot in life to be exiled. We've gone through a number of exiles. We're still in an exile today, although today, thank God, we have the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael, but we're still in Galus, and it's still palpable there that we're still in Galus. And so we have to deal with the reality of Galus. Certainly our Galus today, we understand from Chazal as punitive. Just like Yaakov's sons, we were not united with one another, and it's meant to unite us. I don't mean to bring it's very heavy on a Sunday morning, I don't mean to bring such difficult imagery, but of course everyone talks about how, you know, you can't tell in a concentration camp, you know, everyone was Jewish. You didn't know in terms of are they Hasidish, are they conservative, you don't know, everyone's Jewish, it's the great equalizer. Right, and this is the idea of Galus. We're here, it's meant to teach us something, and it's meant in a rehabilitative way to ensure that we can continue our legacy, that we can earn back Eretz Yisrael, that we can earn the title of being the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a nation unto the world, a light unto the nations. Okay. So now that we have to face the bleak Galus, the Medrash has to come and help us through it. The Medrash comes to comfort us. A few minutes ago, I mentioned the Medrash Tanchuma, which has in its name Nechama, right, comfort. And while that might have been the name of the author, the editor of the Medrash, there is a view that perhaps this Medrash refers to its mission, which was comfort, right? When did the Medrash arise? we have Medrashei Halacha in the time of the Tanaim, which were halachic interpretations based on Psukim. But then in the time of the Amoraim, the authors of the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, and the Talmud Yerushalmi, we have the development of something known as Medrash Agada, which is what we usually refer to as Medrash. And these are homiletic interpretations of the Psukim. These were the drashos that were said in shul on Shabbos. Much like today, you go to shul and you hear a drasha. So they had a particular formula. They would begin with a pasuk from Ksuvim, right? This was a part of a way to bring Ksuvim into the synagogue. You read from the Torah, you read the Haftorah from the Nevi'im, and now, as a way of introducing people to Ksuvim, the darshan would get up and would begin with a pasuk from Ksuvim, and then somehow, and depending how creative he was, weave that pasuk back into the Torah portion of the week. Now, previously, we're told that in the shuls, they used to discuss halacha, right? We'll go through, review some halachos, much like our shuls nowadays. Sometimes we go through, you have some quick 10-minute halacha review. But what happened? In the time of the Amoraim, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael were persecuted. We don't find this in Babel, because in Babel, they were living comfortably. But in Israel, they were persecuted. And when people came to shul on Shabbos, they didn't have the head for halacha. They don't want to sit and hear about details. Reuven lent Shimon his talis. They don't want, right? I've had a hard week. Things are tough. Times are tough. They wanted words of comfort. And so the role of the Medrash was to give people comfort every week in shul. These were the drashos that were said in shul and later written down. Some of them end up in the Gemara because people went and discussed the same ideas in the Beis Medrash that week. What was discussed in shul? Oh, the darshan said this and that. It ends up in the Gemara. But the essential role of the Medrash is to give comfort. And how does the Medrash do this? So as opposed to halacha, which is very much in the present, you know, Reuven owes Shimon money, right? We're dealing with the here and now, something practical. The Medrash looks to the past. It tells us about our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the tremendous people that they were, and gives us encouragement that we're sort of riding along on their merit, right? Even if we're not the best people, but look where we come from. And it gives us comfort. And the Medrash looks forward. The Medrash looks to the future. And the Medrash says, times will get better. Things will get better. There's an end to what you're going through right now. So again, as opposed to halacha that's in the here and now, the Medrash looks back and it looks forward. As opposed to halacha, where we have to come down to one bottom line decision, even if there are multiple opinions, we have to decide, okay, but which view are we following? In Medrash, there are many opinions, and no one's considered right and no one's considered wrong. Every opinion is accepted, and we take comfort from every opinion. And so, what does the Medrash have to say with regards to comforting us in terms of the reality of our suffering in Galus? So here we're going to begin by looking back at Bris Bein Hakasarim, which we started out with. But the Medrash has a very different reading than the Gemara did. We saw in the Gemara, Avram Avinu is blamed, essentially. Perhaps he did, they have a list, three things he might have done wrong. Avraham Avinu is essentially blamed for the galus, for the fact that his children are going to have to go through this terrible subjugation. But in the Medrash, the sentence, Bama Eda Ki Irashena, how do I know that I will inherit the land, is read entirely differently. The Medrash understands Avraham Avinu's words as the words of a man who is completely overwhelmed. Wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have nothing right now. I don't even have one son, and you're telling me I'm going to have a whole nation like the stars of the sky? And they're going to inherit this land? How could that be? In what merit? What if they sin? Right? This is too good to believe. This is what Avraham Avinu was saying in terms of according to the Medrash. In what merit are they going to inherit this land? How could they deserve such a thing? I can't imagine that they could keep it up for very long. What if they do something wrong? They're gonna lose this land? And so, according to the Medrash, what follows, which we read earlier, the Psukim of Bris Bein Hakasarim, where Avraham Avinu is told, take 3 heifers and 3 goats and 3 rams and a turtle dove and a young bird, and then he divides them in half. and so on. All of this is meant to comfort Avraham Avinu's worry, according to the Medrash. Avraham Avinu is asking, in what merit? And Hashem responds by telling him to take these number of animals. And what is the symbolism here? So first, the first source in the chart, which is underneath the words Brisbane Abasaram, it says Shemos Rava. It really is meant to say Bereshis Rava. I apologize, I had Shemos on the brain. So Bereshis Rava, Parsha Mem Dalid, section Tesvav. The Medrash explains that here Avraham Avinu is told to take four different types of animals, and that in fact each animal reflects a different galus, a different exile that the Jewish people will have to endure. And the Medrash is very erudite, explaining exactly why three of this animal, referring to three kings from that kingdom, and three of this. I'm not going to go through all the details with you. But here we see the Egla Meshuleshes, the Medrash tells us, this refers to Babel. The Eiz Meshuleshes is Madai, the Isle is Yavan, and the Torah Gozal is Edom. So we have here Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome, which is the Galus that we are considered to be in today. And here, what is the encouragement to Avraham Avinu according to the Medrash? The encouragement is, what is it that will enable your children to fulfill their destiny? It's Galus. Whether it's because they may sin, and then they go through the Galus experience as a rehabilitative experience, or whether, right, this is part of forming our national character, it's through the galus, not as a punishment, but just as a means to an end, that your children will inherit the land. So don't worry, even if they sin, it may be true, times may look bad, there may be a galus Babel, a galus Parsu Madai, a galus Yavan, a galus Edom, but in the end, this is the means for perfecting ourselves and enabling us to return back to the lands of Israel. So it's not all or nothing. It's not that your children can lose this destiny. This is their destiny. There may be some bumps along the road, but the goal and the end is always returning back to Eretz Yisrael. Another view in the Medrash, in the box below, is that if you look just in terms of the basic psukim, Avraham Avinu asks, right, in what merit will my children inherit the lands? And Hashem tells them to take a number of animals. And then the Medrash says, in sort of an obvious way, this must refer to the sacrifices, to the karbanos, right? What is the merit that keeps us going, even if we sin, even if we're in galus, even if we're in exile? What is the merit that we retain that will ultimately bring us back to the land of Israel? It's in the merit of the karbanos, in the merit of the sacrifices. And so the Medrash explains that these animals, again, I'm not going to go through all the details, but these specific animals that Avraham Avinu took refer to the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and these specific animals, right, the Medrash outlines exactly how the animals Avraham Avinu is told to take reflect and symbolize karbanos that we bring throughout the year. And finally, the Medrash tells us that there was a bird that Avraham Avinu took that was not cut. The other animals were divided in half. They were placed opposite one another. Avraham Avinu could go in between, but there's a small bird that remains whole. And of course, according to the Medrash, who is the little bird? You all know the song. The little bird is Yisrael. And why is it, the Medrash says, how is it that despite all of these galios that are being outlined, Babel, Yavan, Madai, Edom, how is it that the little bird is going to remain whole? The Medrash tells us that it's through the Torah. The Medrash says when we're in Galus, if the nations of the world decree all sorts of things on us, decree that we have to dress in a certain way or we can't be part of a certain club, we have to take it. This is part of the Galus experience. The Medrash says, we take it. But, the Medrash says, if during the Galus, the nation that's subjugating us tells us we cannot keep the Torah, we cannot keep the mitzvah, then the Medrash says we make like a bird and we fly away. Because we can't, we lose our identity as a nation if we lose the Torah. And so, here the Medrash is giving us three approaches of encouragement that Avinu was given. Your children may have to endure galus, but ultimately the galus will end and they'll return to the land of Israel. Your children have the merit of their destiny to build the Beis HaMikdash, to bring karbanos for all the nations of the world, and that tzchus is what will keep them going and bring them ultimately out of the galus. And finally, what keeps us together in the galus, what keeps us united with one another, united with Hashem, that's the Torah. Now, something very beautiful is that when we look a little bit ahead in Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu goes in for his own personal galus, right? Yaakov Avinu had to leave the land of Israel. He had to escape from his brother Esav, who wanted to murder him. He goes with nothing, right? He goes to live with Laban. He has nothing. The Torah tells us that as Yaakov Avinu left, I'm sorry I didn't bring you these psukim, but I'll read them to you. Vayifka b'makom, as he's traveling, it gets late, and he goes to sleep. Vayalen sham ki v'hashemesh, he goes to sleep, and he takes, remember, the stones from the place where he's sleeping, and he places them around his head, and he sleeps there. Okay, we've established that he was sleeping. Now, vayachalom, Yaakov dreams, v'hinei sulam mutzav arza. He has a vision of a ladder standing on the ground, v'rosho magia shamayma. The top of the ladder reaches towards heaven. There are angels, right, ascending and descending on this ladder. Hashem is above the ladder, and Hashem speaks to him and says, I am the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and this land that you are resting on, I'm going to give to your children. Right? Just as Avraham was promised. And just as Avraham was promised many children, so too Yaakov Avinu was promised. Your children will be like the dust of the earth, so many you can't count. They're going to spread throughout this land. Right? This is their destiny. All the nations of the world are going to be blessed through your children. Hashem says, I'm with you, Yaakov, as you embark on your own personal galus. In your own exile, I'm with you. Shmarticha, I'll watch over you. B'chol asher teileich, wherever you go. Vashivosicha el ha'adama hazos, I will bring you back to this land. Ki lo azveka, I won't forsake you until I've fulfilled everything that I've told you. And what's incredibly beautiful is the Medrash has a number of interpretations of Yaakov's vision. Of this, what was this vision that he saw? A ladder with angels ascending and descending. And the Medrash gives us some beautiful ideas, and they correspond exactly to the ideas of the Medrash with Epris Ben Abbasarim to Avraham Avinu. Right? Just as Epris Ben Abbasarim, we saw that Avraham Avinu was comforted that even if your children slip up a little, even if they sin, we have the galus that will put them back together and make them worthy of the lands. And so too, the Medrash tells us that what was it that Yaakov Avinu was watching? What did he see? Who are these angels ascending and descending? The Medrash famously tells us that these were the Arba Malchios, the four kingdoms that in the future would subjugate his children. Right? Why is he being shown this? He himself is going into Galus, and Hashem is encouraging him, I'll bring you back, don't worry, I'll watch over you. So too, the Medrash says, the Medrash speaks to the future, right? He's having a vision of the future. His children will also, unfortunately, have to go into Galus. And here he sees these nations, and according to the Medrash, they ascend. And as they ascend, that symbolizes their reign, their rising to power. But then at some point, each nation falls down off the ladder, comes down. Right? His power wanes and he starts to decline. Right? So Babel climbs up 70 rungs and then it's over. And Yaakov Avinu is watching this, and of course the Medrash says when it comes to Galus Edom, which we are still in today, going, 2,000 years strong, he sees this angel climbing up the ladder, and Yaakov begins to worry. Right? What's going to happen with this one? Hashem says, don't worry, that one's also going to stop at some point and I'll bring you back. And so this is the comfort of the Medrash. That even though right now we may be in Galus, and even though it may seem unending, at some point, the angels, the other nations, and their messengers of Hashem, they're in Hashem's control, and their reign will end, the Ahmadinejads of the world will fall from power, and that's our comfort in times of difficulty. Similarly, just as we saw the Medrash encouraged Avraham Avinu that the merit of the Karbanos is going to be what will keep his children together and their merit to bring them back to the land of Israel. So too, the Sifri tells us, your kids probably didn't bring this home as a project from school, Parshas Vayetzeh, but that the vision of the ladder was in fact a vision of the Beis HaMikdash. Pretty wild, right? V'hinei Sula Mutzav Arza, and the second box on the left, underneath. Zeh Beis HaMikdash, the ladder is the temple. V'rosho Magia Shamayma, what about it reaches heaven? These are the karbanos, the smoke from the karbanos goes up to heaven. V'hinei Malachei Elokim Olim V'yordim Bo, who are the angels of God that are going up and down in Yaakov's dream, in his vision, according to the Sifri? V'kohanim, they ascend up to the Mizbeach, and they descend after they bring the karbanos. V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, Hashem is above all of it to receive the karbanos. So again, here Yaakov Avinu is being comforted. Even as you go into the galus, even as your children go into galus, on this place where you are sleeping, where was Yaakov sleeping? Where was he having this vision? On Har Moriah, on the Har Abayis. He's resting here, and even as he's going off, and times are bleak, he's going into the unknown, he has a vision of his children's destiny. All the nations of the world will be blessed through your children. They're going to have a temple here. They're going to bring karbanos, not just for themselves, but for everyone. This is their destiny, right? You're going to come out of this okay. And finally, we saw that the Medrash speaks about the Torah as being the key to what holds together that little bird, so that the little bird isn't broken among all those nations. And so too we see Behine Sulam in the last source on the left on the bottom. Sulam Begamatria Sinai. Sulam, a ladder, has the same numerical value as Sinai, right? Har Sinai, where we receive the Torah. Sha'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Laseis Torah L'Yisrael Al Har Sinai. In the future, Hashem is going to give the Torah to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. And who are the, right, and it describes the mountain had fire going up to heaven. And who are the angels of Hashem that went up and down the mountain? Moshe and Aaron, who went up to receive the Torah and came down. And of course, Hashem is above all speaking to the nation, just as he spoke to Yaakov. And so here again, Yaakov Avinu is being encouraged about his children's destiny. We're going to have the Torah, and this is what is going to keep us together in the galus. A friend of mine, I brought a little show and tell. A friend of mine grew up on a chicken farm in Norma, New Jersey. And right now there aren't really so many people there. She has an uncle that still lives there and keeps everything going. But we went there for Shabbos once, and they have a small shul, 100-year-old shul. People, when they came to this country and settled there, this was the shul that they went to. And I was in the shul on Shabbos, and I noticed they had these tables as you come in full of very, very incredibly old svarim that I was looking at. And her uncle, who serves as the shamus of the shul, said to me, "Oh, do you want them? Oh, come back after Shabbos. You could take whatever you want. Otherwise, he was going to bury them." These are from the 1800s, from people that came to America. We have here, I originally took it because my brother's a printer and he collects old books. But I found them so moving, I showed them to my Jewish history students, so don't tell him. So here we have, this is a machzor, and I could show them to you at the end. They have years in them, they have people's names, 1836. It's really incredible. But when you think about it, you think about people that had to leave their home, my friend's grandparents, right? Her grandfather, he was settled in Germany, how many years, a beautiful, flourishing community, and there came a time they had to go. And he had to come, and what did he do? He had to go settle in New Jersey. Nothing wrong with New Jersey, but it's the middle of nowhere in New Jersey on farmland, and there's nothing there. There's no Jewish community, there's no shul, there's no school. Right? He worked with chickens because he said, the chickens don't mind if I don't speak English and the chickens don't mind if I don't work on Shabbos. Right? And this is what he did. But you just think for a moment as you're in this shul, what is it that people took with them? What do you take when you have to leave your settled community and go to another place? Right? They took the Torah with them. They took these books. They took this Gemara, this Machzor. This is what they took with them, and this is what keeps the little bird together, which is incredibly moving. And this is what the Medrash is telling us. This is the message to Yaakov Avinu, right? Even when you're going into Galus, your children are going to go into Galus, but what is it that keeps us together? It's the fact that someone, as he packed his bag, grabbed his Gemara and brought it to New Jersey, and now his grandchildren can carry on the tradition. And so this is the comfort from the Medrash. As we face our enemies, as we face difficulties, as we face the harsh galus, the Medrash tells us there will be an end. It's difficult, it's painful, it's scary, but there is an end. At some point, that angel comes down that ladder and his turn is over. What is it that keeps us going? We have a destiny. We have a destiny to build Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to bring Karbanos there. This is the merit that keeps us going, despite our sins, that will bring us out of the galus, the merit of the Karbanos. And finally, of course, right, we have Midrash Yom Rishon, we have Torah. This is what the dedication, our dedication of the Torah that keeps us going through the galus, that keeps us united with one another and united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have to tell you before I end, just on a personal note, this year, Parshas Vayetze, I didn't realize at the time that it corresponded so perfectly with what Avraham Avinu was told at the Bris Ben Abasarim. But this year, Parshas Vayetze, at least I was learning with my Parsha class, the vision of Yaakov and the different interpretations. And together with my students, we were trying to figure out what is the encouragement here to Yaakov in terms of, oh, he saw the Beis HaMikdash, he saw the Torah. But I have to tell you, this year, Parshas Vayetze, my nephew Zevi was called up to go to Gaza. They didn't actually go in. His got ready together with his unit twice. I see my mother, his grandmother, it makes me cry. He together twice, they had their faces painted, and his unit was ready to go in. He's a combat soldier. And we're here in America, we don't know what's going to be. We're told he's called up, his cell phone is off, no one knows where he is, he can't be reached, what's going to be? They're gathering 70,000 troops. And together with my students, we learned the comforting words of the Medrash, that even when times are tough, there'll be an end. He's a Kohen, right? The merit of the Karbanos keeps us going. And what can we do? What we can do is we can learn Torah, and this gives us hope, and this keeps us together. And I have to say that this year, this year, Parshas Vayetze, the words of the Torah, the words of the Medrash, were incredibly comforting as we read, V'hine inochi imach, behold, I will be with you, u'shmarticha b'chol asher teileich, I'll watch over you wherever you go. V'hashivosicha el ha'adama hazos, I will return you back to this land. Ki lo azavcha, I will not forsake you. Ad asher imasisi es asher dibarti lach, until I do what I have told you. And so my bracha to all of us as we go through difficult times is that we take comfort in the Torah, and we take comfort in the comforting words of the Medrash and all that it has to offer us. Thank you.